So everybody's pretty excited you're coming to Paducah, Kentucky, and it's an honor to speak with you. I'd like to start by asking you what big holidays are like at your home. You have a whole slew of kids and grandchildren.
I sure do. Well, you know what? Aside from holidays, I mean, that's a given. Possibly, I would say almost every Sunday, there's a gathering at my place here with all the kids, and we usually have somewhere around, I don't know, 20 people. And that's just my family, because I've got 8 kids, 10 grandkids, and their spouses. So, I mean, it's really every Sunday is a holiday here.
That's really cool. A couple of your sons followed in your career path. One of them was playing with you in Paducah, I see.
Yeah. He's my drummer, and he's a very talented boy. He's part of the show. And my other son is a guitarist, but he's in the corporate end of a company called Guitar Center. He travels all around, sets up new schools and new shops around the country here. But yeah, they're both musicians, and the one travels with me.
You are a musician first and foremost. I read about the fact that you were a prodigy as a trumpet player. Do you still play trumpet?
No, I don't, Kate, and I'll tell you the reason why. When I was a young boy and I started playing trumpet, I really put a lot of time and effort and a passion that I had. So I would practice anywhere between 4 to 6 hours a day, where, you know, normally kids at that age, 9 or 10 years old, you know, your mother or your dad would say, "Did you practice today?" Well, my mother and father and the neighborhood would say, "Would you tell that kid to stop playing that horn?" You know? So I was really dedicated to it, and I became pretty good. And, of course, first trumpeter in all Philadelphia. And then I did the Gleason show, and I did the Perry Como show, and I recorded for RCA Victor. I kept it in my show, but through the years, I got so busy with other things, I could not practice. And, you know, if you can't practice, you can't play, especially that instrument.
Your musical expertise really launched everything that happened for you.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that really gave me the basic foundation to do what I did. As an example, when I joined a rock and roll band in summer vacations from school, we had an audition to go into New York City and audition for a film that was being done about the new music of rock and roll called Jamboree. It was the name of the picture. Because of the fact that I was a musician and we auditioned with our band, the one producer came to me and said, "Can you read music?" And I said, "Yes, I do." They put a song in front of me called Teacher's Pet. I read it off and did an audition for that song. And because of that, my music ability, they put us in the picture.
You just never know when things are going to come in handy.
No, you just don't. You know, the basic foundations are always important, whether it be in education, music, or what have you. The foundation is always important.
You were a teen when teens became teens, sort of, the generation of teens, and you were involved in the great Philadelphia TV shows that actually went national. What was that like?
Well, that was an experience. You know, that was the Dick Clark American Bandstand. The thought of people and the press was the reason why I got on that show is because I was from Philly. But that wasn't the case because I'd recorded about 2 or 3 songs that just didn't hit the charts. And Dick Clark was really very adamant about who he put on the show, because if the song was starting to make some kind of progress around the country on the national Billboard or Cashbox charts, then you had an opportunity. So that only happened because my song Dee Dee Dinah in 1957, the end of 57, started to hit the charts, is where I got my first opportunity to do a guest appearance.
Thinking about Dick Clark passing and Annette Funicello passing.
Yes.
I was wondering if you'd tell me a story, a real good story about each of them.
Dick Clark and I became so friendly, as a matter of fact. After I started doing his show, I started to do a lot of work for Dick Clark. He would come to me and ask me to host specials for NBC, which I did along with Annette Funicello. But the great stories with Dick Clark was the fact that, you know, I found him to be a man that knew so much about so many other things, not just the music business. He was a very bright man and gave me lots of advice. He always used to say little things like, never go to a meeting in a limousine. I mean, little things like that he would say to me. And of course, Annette Funicello, I mean, she was the dearest to me, and working with her, and of course, in working, became a friendship, which I became the godfather to her oldest daughter, her oldest child, Gina. And of course, along from working, we spent many times with our families together. She was a real gem to me, and I do miss her dearly.
Oh, no, you must. So, in the 80s, you did an update for the beach party movies, Back to the Beach.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you insisted on Dick Dale being with you. What in the world is Dick Dale like personally?
You know, he's a very interesting guy. He is so nice. I've never seen a mean bone in his body. But he's very creative in lots of other areas, too. I'll never forget when we were doing the original beach party pictures. He came to me, we were like in between shooting a scene, and he said, come with me, I want to show you something, I've got my car. And I went in his car. You know, he was the first one that exposed to me a GPS.
No fooling.
Yes. I don't know if he ever got involved with it in the business aspect, but he had that rigged up in his car. So he was a very bright guy. And of course, he's still around, and we still make contact with one another time to time. That was a wonderful combination that we put in the picture with Dick Dale and Stevie Ray Vaughan doing the song in the picture. It was wonderful.
No kidding. You know, talking about the music business, when you're coming to Paducah, Billy Sherrill is going to be on the spot. I think he's going to be involved in producing the show even. Have you much contact with the music business in Nashville?
I haven't. Don't forget, Kate, I started in the mid-50s. I mean, the guys that I knew are guys like Waylon Jennings and Merle Haggard and Buddy Holly. Of course, you know, in music, everybody's going in different streets. You know, who's here, who's there. So you very seldom get to see one another.
For the Paducah gig, the MC is a Paducah DJ of the past named Dwayne the Brain Spees. I bet you've met a many DJs.
Probably through my career. You know, I don't think there's a town or a city that I've missed in the some odd years that I've been doing this. You know, I've started out on the school bus with 15 acts, whether it be Sam Cooke and Jackie Wilson and Dion and the Belmonts and the Everly Brothers. I mean, we were all on one show, and we did 91 nighters. I mean, we did a lot of work around the country.
So have you ever been to one of your own class reunions?
No, I haven't. You know, I didn't even go to my prom. I played my prom, but I didn't go to the prom as a date or whatever because I was the band.
It's really stunning that the night that you're in Paducah playing for the Tillman reunion, the program is 16 pages long.
16 pages long? Of what?
Well, you know, it's you coming to Paducah, which is a big deal, and Stanley Walker is going to be there. Stanley's in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame, the rock and roll group. The Cruisers are also going to be on the bill. So it's just going to be a very large evening.
Isn't that great? Oh, that's wonderful. I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting and, you know, give the people an opportunity to reminisce. And for those who have never been there, you know, it's not resented. Our music and our times is a wonderful time that keeps going on and on and on. I mean, I get to sing my songs, Venus and Dee Dee Dine and Gingerbread and Why and Bobby Socks and Stockings and Beauty School Dropout. So it's a fun. And then I've got some surprises in the show, and there's films and things of my family. It's going to be very fun.
So how come your voice hasn't aged?
I don't know. I just feel good. You know, I've been very fortunate. I got some good genes, and I keep on going.
Well, good for you.
All right, Kate.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call. Bye now.
Bye.